Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Preparing for Disaster in America, on Tuesday, March 26th, 2013. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by Tapas and Vino. Located in the heart of Riviera Village, Tapas and Vino offers an idyllic location to meet and eat and has quickly become a favorite destination of local foodies. Opened in October 2011, this charming bistro offers an eclectic menu of small plates, salads, soups, and entrees for lunch and dinner daily. In addition, brunch is served every Saturday and Sunday with endless, yes, that's right, endless mimosas and bellinis. The popular outdoor patio boasts a vibrant scene each evening and features live music every Tuesday night. The extensive wine list offers varietals from regions around the globe, and brew enthusiasts will appreciate the comprehensive beer selection. Tapas and Vino also hosts monthly wine and or beer education events, provides off-premise catering, and has a private dining room for small groups. Tapas and Vino is currently running a Not Just Tapas and Vino campaign. For listeners of the South Bay Show, mention the South Bay Show or South Bay by Jackie and receive 25% off a lunch or Saturday and Sunday brunch entree. Be sure to visit the Tapas and Vino Facebook page for weekly specials and discounts. Tapas and Vino is located at 1729 South Catalina Avenue in Redondo Beach. For more information, visit the website at tapasyvino.com. That's TapasYVino, tapasyvino.com. Or call 310-791-8200. That's 310-791-8200. You can find out more about us at facebook.com/The South Bay Show or visit our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Preparing for disaster in America. This is a subject that can never be treated lightly, but we do our best to make it interesting, engaging, and yes, even entertaining to learn the few key skills and primary information that could save your life, your family's lives, that of a neighbor in a time of crisis, or the life of a treasured pet. Our mission is to engage hearts and minds and build knowledge and skills to help you prepare for whatever may come. This show is a true collaboration with Solid Roots in the Community and a partnership with the Official Disaster Preparation Establishment. Our producer is the president of the local Manhattan Beach Community Emergency Response Team Association, Mr. George Butts. Hey, George, how you doing today?
Good morning, Joe. I am fine. Thank you very much. Welcome.
Yes, yes. You're very welcome, George, and we're really excited about the guest. But before that, we have to talk to our other host today. With us today is owner, producer, writer of SouthBayByJackie.com, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you today?
I am well this morning, Joe. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
So what we're going to talk about today is something that is very, very, you know, unexpected. Most people would say a disaster is a disaster, but no, that's not true. A disaster normally isn't as bad initially as it becomes over time, as people who are unprepared become secondary casualties. And then, of course, the topic of today, the disaster after the disaster. And our guest will tell us about that. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Well, our guest this morning is the son of a volunteer fireman, fire chief, volunteer EMT, and all-around great guy and dad. It's our own George Butts, the producer of this show. George is the president of the Manhattan Beach Community Emergency Response Team Association and has been the group's fearless leader for over 5 years now, I believe. The Manhattan Beach Community Emergency Response Team Association is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization created to enhance disaster preparedness and emergency response for the citizens of Manhattan Beach. They accomplish this through participation in community awareness events, various training programs, drills, and providing volunteer support to the Manhattan Beach Fire and Police Departments when a disaster strikes or upon activation by those departments in the event of an emergency. George is a CERT instructor and Red Cross instructor in first aid, CPR, and AED, and was the recipient of the 2011 President's Volunteer Service Award for his work with the CERT program. He is also an avid flyer, serving on the L.A. County Aviation Committee for the past 8 years and serving as chairman in 2010. In his spare time, George keeps busy with his firm, the Taxi Equipment Company, which is one of the top three taxi supply businesses in the country and specializes in braille signage for the transportation industry. Now, this morning, George is going to tell us all about fire, what makes them, what it takes to put them out, and what a large part they play in the destruction of life and property after a disaster. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, George.
Did you like my intro?
That was good. That was pretty good. Yeah. You know, all right. You made me sound like I'm special today. Thank you.
You are.
You're our guest, George. Of course you're special.
All right, good. Well, fires. As Joe indicated, a earthquake can be quite devastating to us, but after the shaking stops and after the initial, 60 seconds or 5 minutes of running around, an earthquake can shake up an awful lot, can destroy, and it's been proven, it's been known that it will create fires. And the fires created by it can become actually more destructive than the earthquake itself, and that's been proven over the years. It was Mrs. Brown's cow that kicked over the lantern that took care of San Francisco a number of years ago. But in the same regard, something that's going to break a gas line or create a spark or a downed power line can do the same thing. And in a disaster, our resources are going to be spread thin. We've talked about it before in Manhattan Beach. We have 9 firemen on duty at any one time, and that's only going to man a 2 engines in 1 paramedic unit. If a fire breaks out in North Manhattan, where our homes are 3 and 4 feet apart, there's 2 fires, it's just going to be an impossibility for our firemen to be able to take care of that. We're not going to have the mutual aid that we would have on a normal fire. There other cities are going to be taking care of themselves. Mm-hmm. So fires are quite dangerous. It's something that happens every day. We see it on television. On the news, we hear about it on the radio, and so we're going to talk about what you as our listeners can do to prevent fires, and if a fire occurs, what can you do to put it out, or to, if nothing else, mitigate keeping it small so that it doesn't spread, and then know when you want to evacuate and not do anything. Not do anything at all.
No, George, I have to ask you a question here. You
sure.
Piqued my interest. You're saying a cow was responsible for the great San Francisco fire after the earthquake in 1906?
No. It had nothing to do with the earthquake.
Oh.
The
fire. The cow and the fires. Because there was a cow involved in the great Chicago fire.
Wasn't that Mrs. O'Leary's?
Yeah.
This is O'Leary's cow.
Patrick and Catherine O'Leary.
Yeah, I stand corrected.
Sorry, I'm from Chicago.
This wasn't San Francisco. It wasn't the earthquake. This is something completely different. But it did cause a fire.
I've been talking about the cow and the fire for my whole life.
Exactly. Sorry about that.
George just made up a story about Mrs. Brown's cow setting San Francisco on fire.
Okay, all right. That damn cow.
It is early. I didn't sleep well last night.
Now, George, you were saying...
Okay.
Yes.
I can continue now.
Please continue. Yes.
All right. So what we're going to talk, as I teach fire safety, it's taught in regards to the community emergency response training and what we teach our citizens. But we're teaching everyday people this. So everything that I talk about, whether it be for CERT or just the normal person that's sitting around the coffee table this morning that hasn't had it. But we're going to talk about, we're going to identify and reduce potential risks in the home and or your workplace. And then we're going to talk about sizing up a fire, making sure that you understand what is there before you act. Basic fire safety precautions and hazards. And then the use of a fire extinguisher. I'm not sure how many of you listeners out there have or have not managed to use a fire extinguisher, a dry chemical, but in our CERT training, we do teach that, and we allow people to put out fires. In Manhattan Beach, in the Neighborhood Watch program and in the senior program, we also bring out block captains and citizens on occasion to put out fires with fire extinguishers, just so you have an understanding of what a fire extinguisher is, how to operate it, and its capabilities. So first off, we need to talk about fire. And, fire, since the days of flint and rubbing sticks together and having fuel, it takes three ingredients. It takes heat, it takes a fuel, and it takes oxygen. The fuel can be a paper. It can be some wood. It could be gasoline or kerosene. It could be pretty much anything. But there is a chemical reaction between heat, fuel, and oxygen that creates these flames and this destructive power that is called fire. Without any one of these, if you take fuel away, it goes out. If you take oxygen away, it goes out. And if you take the heat away from it, the fire will go out. So with that in mind, as we go down through here, you're going to learn about how to put out a fire, how to possibly put out a fire without using a fire extinguisher. And we're going to talk about the different classes of fire. There's ordinary combustibles. There's classes of fire are A, B, C, D. An ordinary combustible fire would be a paper or a wood. Something that we burn every day. We can light a match. It's an ordinary combustible fire. It starts out with an accelerant, but it's just a little wooden match. A B fire is a flammable or a combustible liquid, and it a little more intense than most ordinary combustibles, but it too can be put out with a fire extinguisher. And then a C fire is an energized electrical fire created by the electricity, and quite often when you talk about electricity and how could this happen, let's jump and think about the hazards in the home and the workplace. Your homes are built with circuits and electrical boxes. And each of your electrical outlets around the house is a 20-amp circuit, and it goes back to a box. And the number of outlets on that circuit are rated at 20 amps maximum. And if you exceed that, what happens is the cords, the wiring, it heats up. There you go. So there's our heat. And if you put wiring or extension cords under a rug, then you may also provide it with the fuel that's necessary to create a fire. So electrical octopuses, and I'm not sure that, you know, I will tell you that I have a couple of them in the house, but I do know that they don't exceed my 20 amps. If you take a surge suppressor, a bar strip, and you plug it into your wall, and you plug in your computers and your printers and your scanners and your lights, and you run out of space, and then you plug another one into that one outlet that's still left, so you have another surge protector and bar strip connected to it, and then you plug in your shredder and another light, or your cordless phone that has to be plugged in. I mean, it can go on and on. Mm-hmm. But never run cords under your carpets. If you have frayed or broken cords, they should always be replaced. And you need to maintain your appliances that you have in the house to make sure that they're running properly, and avoid those octopuses, as we say. If you have a sea fire, if you have an electrical fire and it starts and you take away the electricity, if you go shut the power off, what kind of fire does that become? Jackie, Joe, do you know?
Because you took the heat away, there's no fire.
No. You're just taking the electrical component away.
You're combustible.
A or B.
So it becomes a regular A combustible fire, correct. Very good. All right, you both pass.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right, D. A D fire are your combustible metals. Volkswagens. You know, we're always the good ones years and years ago when if you had a fire in a Volkswagen. And magnesium, mm-hmm. It burns bright and it burns hot, the aluminums. So you have to watch. But the basic fire is an A, B, or C fire, combustible, ordinary, flammable, or electrical. Those are your three major fire groups. Mm-hmm. And that is why most fire extinguishers are an A, B, and C fire extinguisher, and we'll talk about those in a little bit. So we want to reduce our fire hazards in our home and workplace. In past shows, we have always discussed knowing where our gas shutoff is, making sure it's labeled, making sure that you can shut it off. In our classes, including our last class last month, we provide all of our students with a 4-in-1 tool for shutting off gas and water, breaking glass, or using it as a little hatchet if necessary. It's a non-sparking tool. And one of the assignments is that we send them all home and tell them they need to go find their gas meter and just move the shutoff valve a little bit, not taking it 90 degrees, because if you take it 90, it will shut the gas off. But just to know that they can do it. And I have not had a class yet where somebody has not, you know, where everyone has been able to shut off their gas. There is always one family, one household where they go back and they cannot move it. And so they're instructed, and after the class, they will call the gas company. The gas company will come out. We have had students that have actually found a gas leak when the gas company came out. It was a small leak that it had not been detected. No one ever thought of it. And so you need to make sure that you can shut your gas off, because after an earthquake, the first thing that you want to do after the shaking stops and you yourself and your family are protected, you do want to go out and check your gas meter. You want to only shut off the gas if you smell gas leaking, if you hear it hissing. from inside a wall, possibly. Or when you look at your gas meter, you see the dials, you know, rotating extremely fast, something much, much faster than you have in the winter time when you would have your heat on, or in the summer when you would be utilizing very little gas. Some people install natural gas detectors just as an extra precaution. But ideally, know where it is, know where your gas meter is, know when to shut it off. After an earthquake, if your home is structurally sound and you have no gas leak, I'm not sure why you would want to shut your gas off, because you actually may want some heat. You may want your gas stove to work, depending on the time of the year. If you shut it off, you as a homeowner that does not have the knowledge to be able to go reset your pilots and purge the lines should not shut your gas off and then turn it back on. So you should leave it off until a professional can come turn it back on. Any questions?
Well, Jackie? Actually,
I do. I'm sorry. I should have jumped in before because we're going to go back a little bit. D-fires. You mentioned magnesium, but what kind of D-fires could happen in a house?
Oh, not well, there aren't too many.
Okay. Then I don't have to worry about D.
Yeah, I'm, you know, this is on there was a Mercedes. I think it was a Mercedes once on Sepulveda in Manhattan Beach, caught fire. And the fire was so intense and so hot that it actually melted and burnt into Sepulveda, and that something that needed to be patched.
Mm-hmm. So cars have the cars would be the big
with
D fire.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
So okay. All right. And Joe, you had something?
No, I don't think I have a question yet.
Statement?
Well, I think you're explaining what fire is and what the different categories of fires are. We want to make sure we get to, you know, I always focus on what I consider to be the great fears, right? The great fear of fire, I think, let me speak for myself, is when it happens in the middle of the night and you don't know, and you wake up and the room is full of smoke and you've got who knows how many seconds to get out, and you think, what do I take? Or can I even get out? I mean, that's my greatest fear about fire. I've always been afraid of fire in that way. We've had some, when I was young, we lived in a rat trap apartment on the second or third floor of a wooden building with these center stoves for heating. It was very dangerous. And so
I'm almost to that point.
Okay. Well, tell me more.
Right. Well, we're going to, you know, cause we are, I mean, the big thing here is reducing. So we also want to discuss fire hazards, and labels, and of course, liquid products in the home that that can create fire or acids. And so we're going to talk about lies, not the ones that you tell your friends, you know, your little white lies. We're going to talk about lies, L-I-E-S, and we're talking about our gasolines and our alcohols and our ethanols and our ammonias.
Do you mean lies, L-Y-E-S?
L-I-E-S.
L-I-E-S.
Limit, you know, you want to limit. Limit the products that you have around your home. Isolate. Keep them separated from themselves. All right, and or from other products, keep them out of the reach of children and neighbors. Eliminate. If there's something that you're not using or that you don't need,
get rid of it
and separate. Because we all know what happens when you take, we used to make rockets. Now I can't think of it.
Bleach and ammonia? Ooh, bad combination.
Not the rockets, but it's the bleach and ammonia. I mean, And the
George, check your microphone connection because you're just going in and out.
Mm-hmm. Still there?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. A little background noise here that I cannot do anything about. That.
No, it's not. It's not background noise. Your actual mic, your voice is going in and out.
Okay.
Soft and then high. Soft and high.
I just need to speak up then.
Yeah. Okay.
So lies, limit, isolate, and separate. Those four things take care of the products.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when you do? You wake up in the middle of the night and a smoke alarm goes off. The first thing that you are going to do is don't worry about taking care of anything. If you are capable of dialing 911 from inside the house, from bed, before you move, then dial 911 from there, and or depending on where the fire is, you may want to grab the phone or your cell phone and get outside first.
Mm-hmm.
Call 911. Do not stay in the room. If there are other people in the house, of course, you know, one may need to take care of assisting others. But ideally, you want to get out and dial 911. Don't wait. Don't think you're going to put it out yourself. Just dial 911, and then we'll talk about what maybe you can do to either put out the fire and or keep it contained to a certain area. In fighting a fire, we teach that you shouldn't go after and try to put something out much larger than a gas can. Your fire extinguishers, your ABC fires, come in a number of different sizes. Some of the real small ones that you carry around in your cars that are about 2.5 or 3 inches in diameter and maybe a foot tall, it's not going to do much for a fire. It will, if you're lucky and you get the fire real small, it may put it out, or it may just slow it down a little bit. It's recommended a minimum of a 3-pound fire extinguisher, something that you purchase at Home Depot or Costco, just about it. A 5-pound would be ideal. And if you're strong enough and you're willing to cart it around, they do make 10-pound fire extinguishers that you can use. In determining whether or not you have the right equipment and you can fight a fire, this is all in a size up.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know, and you should never try to put out a fire by yourself. Without somebody else being there, especially in the CERT role, we're never going to go into a building. We're never going to do anything without a buddy. If you're at home, you're by yourself, you know your home, you know that if you go in a door and you can get back out that door and or another escape route, you need to make sure that you have more than one way out. I'm not going to tell you as a homeowner not to do it. I will advise you against it. But, you know, are we going to do what we can to save our property? We probably are. But understand that there may be hazards inside. You may be walking in to an area, and if something moves behind you as you're trying to get back out, you can trip and fall. You can hurt yourself. You may get trapped. And so you need to make sure that you can escape, and you need to make sure that you have the right equipment. The right equipment literally being a fire extinguisher that is going to be large enough to put out whatever fire you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can do this and you have the capability and the knowledge, now here we go. This is what we're going to talk about. How do you put out a fire with a fire extinguisher? In class, we show pictures. It's going to be rather difficult, so I want everybody to shut your eyes. Think about you standing there, and you have the proper equipment on. Gloves, you should have on goggles.
Mm-hmm.
You should have on a minimum of a little face mask to protect your nose and your mouth. And your eyes with goggles from any smoke or debris that may be going around. And you're going to approach the fire from the downwind side of it so that the smoke is not blowing in your face, if at all possible. You're going to, the fire extinguisher has a pin that keeps it from being squeezed when not in use. You're going to need to pull the pin. Test that fire extinguisher before you approach the fire.
Hmm.
Who knows how old the fire extinguisher is? If it hasn't been shook and turned bottom side up once a year, whenever you get around to changing your batteries twice a year, it may not work. It may be in the green, but it may be all caked and it may not work properly. So when you change your batteries, go around to all your fire extinguishers and turn them bottom side up and shake up all the powder inside them. So as you test it with just a quick squeeze, knowing that now that it works, you're going to approach the fire. And you really don't need to get way up on top of it. 10 feet, 12 to 10 feet should be a good starting point. And you're going to aim the nozzle of the fire extinguisher at the base of the fire, the base of the flame. If it's in something, don't aim it at the bottom of it. Don't aim it at the top of the flame. You need to aim it at the base of the flame, and then you need to squeeze the handle.
Hmm.
If you squeeze the handle, the fire retardant come out, and the idea behind this retardant is it is going to displace the fire and it is going to smother it, so it's going to take away the oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
It's the idea behind a dry chemical. If you put water on a fire, the idea behind that is water removes the heat. But if it's a liquid combustible, whether it's a gas or a kerosene, water is not going to, unless you have massive amounts of water, not going to spread out, actually going to enhance and spread it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, George, let's continue after our station break. We're going to continue with George Butts, the president of the Manhattan Beach Community Emergency Response Team Association. We're talking about fire. We're talking about, as the title of the show implies, the disaster after the disaster. We want to make sure that if there is an earthquake, if there is some other kind of disaster, that people know how to manage one of the most deadly and costly disasters that happen after these issues where the regular responders are going to be very busy, and that is fire. So George will be right back to you after the station break. Ladies and gentlemen, now we're going to thank a sponsor. Jackie, who are we going to thank today?
Well, you know, Joe, it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, Certified Public Accountants and Consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PD, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Palos Verdes Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. Briganti Cameron Waters & Strong is dedicated to helping you navigate to financial success. Call 310-542-0011 for a free consultation, or you can visit the website at www.bcws.com.
Okay. Thank you very much, BCS. I'm sorry, what was the website again?
www.bcws.com. Briganti Cameron Waters & Strong.
bcws.com.
Yes.
And tax season is coming up, isn't it?
You said it, I didn't.
Yes. It's getting close.
Very close, yes.
Okay. George?
Yep.
So we were talking about aiming towards the base of the fire, to then, of course, dry chemical extinguisher is going to remove the oxygen or smother the fire. Water might cool a fire, but not, of course, when it's an accelerant, a liquid accelerant. It's just going to spread it around, which can be very dangerous. Are we going to get into some of the different sort of types of extinguishers now? Are there any other types today that we can look toward, or are these the basic tools?
These are the basic tools.
Yeah.
They're readily available, and this is going to take anything more than that is going to be – it's going to require a lot more than what an individual will be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if we just keep going with our past, and I haven't got to it, but we're going to squeeze. And as we squeeze and we're approaching the fire, we're going to move in towards it a little bit farther, and then we're going to sweep. We're going to sweep the cone of dry chemical back and forth across the base of that fire. So it's called pass, pull, aim, squeeze, and sweep. And if you come take our CERT class, you will be able to do this. You'll be able to do it on a live fire. Jackie was able to. I don't know that she had put out a fire before, but she got to do it.
I got to do it.
In her class. So that's your basic. Now we're gonna put out. Now what if you can't put out the fire? What if you find, if you go to a building and you suspect there's a fire and it's too large for you to take? You are not going to be able to do it. You have called 911 and the smoke is raging out, and there's a door open, and you've decided you can't do it, so you're going to leave the building. And what you always want to do is you always want to close the door. We've seen, I don't know how many, movies, Backdraft. All of these movies where when somebody, and whether it be a fireman or somebody, opens a door and there's a backdraft, and the fire is the area inside the room or the building has started to deplete all of the oxygen, and it may just start to come out. But as soon as you open that door, rush of oxygen in, it fuels the flame and kaboom. We've seen it in real life and in the movies. It's extremely dangerous for our first responders, for our firemen.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to, if you are able to get out. You want to shut the door just to help contain it. Don't allow any more oxygen into it than you could possibly. You want to stay away from it as much as possible. Hazardous materials create fires. We spoke a little bit about them, when we talked about lies and stuff around your house, because they, hazardous materials will corrode other materials. They may explode or are easily ignited. They react strongly with water, and they're unstable when exposed to heat or shock. And of course, they're toxic.
I'm sorry.
You know what's happening, Joe?
What?
George, when there's some background noise, your microphone is picking that up and not your voice.
Oh.
That's what's happening. I noticed every time your chair squeaked, your voice would get low.
My chair? That wasn't my chair.
Yeah.
Whose chair is squeaking? Was squeaking?
Not my chair.
Okay.
And I apologize. I am at work. Mm-hmm. I have a shop that's 100 feet away, but they do make some noise, and apparently this morning they're making more noise than normal.
Mm-hmm. Tell them to be quiet.
Yeah, and it's talking. See, normally if it's somebody else that's doing the talking, and I'm
right, right.
And our other guest. So I can't be a guest anymore.
You're too busy.
I'm sitting here, but other people are making noise, not me.
Yeah.
Hazardous materials are toxic to human, and we all know that. So we can get sick. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about a kitchen fire. This is something that happens all the time. Grease fires, oil fires, Thanksgiving time. The fire departments are always called out. To those homes where people, unlike myself, who know exactly how far up to put the oil in the big pot to do my deep-fried turkey. Mm-hmm. All of you out there that want to deep-fry a turkey and you have your big stock pot, think about submerging the turkey in the pot, in water, and drawing a line on the inside of the pot. So you don't fill the pot up with oil, heat it up to 350 degrees, and then put in a wet, moist turkey into the oil, because the water then will react with the oil. It's going to splatter. It's going to spurt out. So you want to dry the turkey as much as possible before you put it into the fire, and make sure that the pot is not too full. You do not want it to overfill. You do not ever want to do this inside your home.
Mm-hmm.
Not do it on an attached patio. It should be done out in the open.
On a driveway.
On a driveway, way out of the way of anything else, and make sure you have that fire extinguisher handy. Mm-hmm. So there is that. I had to mention that. It happens every year. I don't think there's probably a fire department out there that won't tell you that around Thanksgiving time they don't get called out. In 2 weeks, at our benefit, when I deep fry 3 Cajun turkeys, I know that I'm not going to overflow it, and it's going to be done properly, and I will have at least 2 fire extinguishers handy.
And you're going to have half the fire department there too.
Yeah, we hope. We're going to have a number of them there. Of course, the battalion chief, when he gets there, I'm off duty now. You don't want to go on vacation with the battalion chief. Yeah, no, I'm not working. Yeah. In a pinch. But okay, a kitchen fire. You are at home. Whether it's gas or it's electric, if you heat up your pan to a point where it is so hot and you have flammable liquids in it, and it catches fire, and we'll start with on top of the stove. I have a great video of this happening. And the one thing that you want to do is never throw water on a fire on top of your stove. You know, if it's it's going to be a grease or an oil fire, it's not going to help. It's going to make matters 10 times worse and possibly destroy your kitchen and or your home. So the way to put out a fire is to reduce heat, take the fuel away, and reduce the oxygen. So you have a stove, you have on the stove some oil that is heating and something, and it is splashed and it has started a fire. The first thing you want to do is shut off the stove. Let's remove the heat. Shut off the stove. If it is small enough where you can actually take the lid and put the lid back on the pan without getting yourself burnt, that then will remove what? The oxygen, and the fire will go out. If it is such that the pan is so hot and the flames are a little bit higher than you are comfortable with reaching over and putting the lid back on, get a towel, a towel, just a regular kitchen towel, wet it, dampen it, and wring it out. You don't want it dripping wet, but wring it out and lay it up over the top of the flame. And it too, it is somewhat cool, but it is going to starve the oxygen from it also. And then the other one that people don't really think about at times is you're cooking something in your oven, and all of a sudden in your oven a fire starts. What do you do? Do you open the door and get the fire extinguisher out? No. If something in your oven catches fire, shut the oven off, take the heat away. And ovens are made to remain hot. They're made to seal themselves. So you leave the oven door shut, it will deprive itself of oxygen, and the fire will go out. Do not open your oven door. Remove the heat, shut the heat off, and let it go out. What do you think?
That's great.
There's so much more that we could talk about, but we're getting down to the today's show. I hope everybody has learned something. I hope I've been able to help those of you listening understand the fire. It can be in just amazing to look at, and people stare at it and get enthralled with it. But it is dangerous, and one needs to know when to attack it and when not to. Time to talk about what's going to happen over the next few weeks.
Oh, that's my part. So thank you very much for joining us today, George. George Butts has been joining us and speaking to us about fire. Now we're going to hear from George Butts, our producer.
All right, it's time for our weekly events. And evening, all right, women's self-defense class with our own Jackie Balestra. This is a class designed for women by women. Every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. in the Triton Room on the second floor of Fitness Evolution. at 200 North Harbor Drive in Redondo Beach. Jackie will teach self-defense to some women, and the class continues to be fun and grow, does it, Jackie?
Oh, yes, yes. I've got to tell you, these ladies are very much into it. They're really enjoying it, learning a lot of useful stuff.
Very good. Very good.
And they're bringing friends.
They're bringing friends.
Bringing friends.
Okay. I'm still waiting for some of your shirt people to show up, George.
Well, I keep telling them about it. You see the emails. I let them know.
Okay.
All right. This coming Thursday evening, the Tsunami Town Hall meeting in Manhattan Beach at our Joslyn Center at 1601 Valley Drive at 6:30 p.m. We will have a speaker, Rick Wilson, the senior engineering geologist and science coordinator for the state of California's Tsunami Preparedness and Hazard Mitigation Program.
That's a heck of a title.
That is a mouthful. So we're going to talk about tsunami basics. He will speak. Our battalion chief, Frank Chiella, will also speak about the hazards of tsunamis in Manhattan Beach. We as a CERT organization will be there with a table and information. Anybody that's interested should come by. It is open to the general public. You do not have to be a Manhattan Beach resident. But if you're interested in learning about tsunamis and how it can impact us here on the West Coast, please swing by. Also, coming up this Saturday is an AM class in CPR and AED training from 8 to noon. We have room for about four more participants to take part in this class. If anybody's interested, you may go on to our website, mbcerta.org. On the left side, there's a column for CPR AED training, and you can sign up there. It is from 8 to noon this coming Saturday at our police and fire community room at 420 15th Street, right off the plaza at our police and fire station. We also have both AM and PM classes April 27th and June 22nd, teaching CPR and AED for the Red Cross also. Then, on April 20th and April 21st, we are taking part in what's called SAGE Expo. And it's a sustainable green. It's an expo about being green, but there's going to be vendors, speakers, exhibits, workshops. We will be there along with our sponsor, one of our sponsors and partners, More Prepared, as well as the Red Cross. We're going to be there three wide and a 10 by 30, as I understand it. We will be able to discuss what's necessary in disasters and how we can help people. We're going to do some workshops on hands-only CPR. It will be at the National Guard Armory on Bell Avenue off of Rosecrans on April 20th and 21st from 10 to 4. There will be exhibits and vendors. It's massive. And you can go to SAGE Expo. Just go Google SAGE Expo, and you can learn all about it there, whether you want to be a vendor, an exhibitor, or just come and learn. And then last but not least, our upcoming shows. Who knows? I may be on next week. Right now, I do not have a guest for next Tuesday, but I'm working on it. Mm-hmm. Let's go on to 4-9. The 9th of April, we will have our first true international guest, Lawrence Meyerson from SMS Business Continuity from London, England, to be our guest. He will be Skyping with us, and talking about how to communicate to the masses without the internet. And he will be in London, 8 hours ahead of us, for our show at 7 o'clock on 4/9. On 4/16, our guest will be James Babylon from All Risk Consulting. I'll have more next week on exactly what James and we are going to talk about. And I'm also working with the Red Cross to have one of their representatives come in and talk about the Red Cross in general and their role in disasters, sheltering, and how we help people. And I've talked for almost an hour.
Right.
And I'm not much of a talker.
Are we safer from fire now, do you think, George?
I hope so. I hope that anybody listening knows when they should or when they shouldn't, what they need to do to make sure that they mitigate from their homes.
What is the number one mistake that people make in the typical home fire?
Possibly just trying to put it out themselves. Mm-hmm. And not getting out. You know, the first thing you should do is call 911. Don't try to put it out and then call 911. Again, if it's a kitchen fire, without thinking, don't throw water on it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there is a number one. I don't know exactly what it is.
I love the tip that you said about if it's an oven fire, it's contained. Leave it contained. Don't open the oven and try to put it out. Leave the oven shut, turn it off, and let it go out for lack of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Did I tell you guys about this only happened, not even 2 months ago. A friend of mine, him and his wife and their two young children, fortunately they were all home, and somebody, it was a kitchen fire, so I'm assuming it was cooking, and he told me they went through two fire extinguishers and were using the garden hose. That he said, you can't believe how fast those extinguishers go.
Really?
Yeah. Fortunately, while the mother and father were fighting the fire in the kitchen, one of the kids was outside calling the fire department. So the fire department told them if they hadn't done what they did, they probably would have lost their house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing about fire is it is enormously – it's fast. It's just so fast that people really are taken off guard. They think, okay, well, I called the fire department. We're out of the house. Everything's fine. And then minutes later, their entire house is engulfed. It's just so fast and devastating.
Christmas time and dry – dry pine needles, dry Christmas trees.
Pine needles are a great source of fuel.
Yes.
They'll almost explode.
Yeah.
I guess we didn't talk, George, about the great Christmas tree bonfire that I had this January, but it's an epic fire when you put a pine tree on a bonfire, it's amazing.
Yeah, and you can go to YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
People out there that want to learn about using fire extinguishers, mm-hmm. and videos, you can do it through YouTube. You can watch how quickly a kitchen fire will ignite and expand, or a Christmas tree, in a corner in seconds will engulf the whole corner of a room and ultimately the room itself.
Right. That's a great tip, though. YouTube, there are a lot of crazy stuff on YouTube, but there's a lot of very, very helpful stuff as well. And educational stuff. So you can learn a lot about how to use fire extinguisher and to put out a fire on YouTube. Absolutely. That's great. Great tip.
Well, I need to soundproof my office.
I wonder. I don't know, but we enjoyed listening to you give us some information and how to be safer, George. Thank you very much.
Well, I hope it was helpful. And of course, if anybody needs any information, you can always reach me at info@mbcerta.org. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, George.
All right. Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure.
All right. That's our show for today. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.